Ah, here we are.
Yeah.
Live. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another Queer Tribe Conversation. My name is Donnie Lopri.
And I'm Kirk Prime.
We're happy to be here today again with you for another call. And our guest today is Drake Stevens. Drake, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Excellent. Good to see you, or rather hear your voice. So we don't want to waste any time since we have a short time, so we're going to go right into our call, and I'm just going to give a brief introduction to those of you who don't know Drake Bear Steven. Drake is a shamanic energy medicine practitioner and teacher, as well as a Reiki master. He brings a rich and varied background to his spiritual practice, including a 37-year career in the corporate world and living as a true two-spirit. He is bisexual, was lived in both genders. The first half of his life is female and the second half is male. Drake has a BA in art therapy, is certified as an energy worker by the HCH Institute, has completed the intuitive reading program at Intuitive Way, and is a full Mesa carrier. Some of his spiritual adventures include Vision Quest, Prayer Walk, Medicine Wheel Training, trips to the Sacred Valley in Peru, in receiving the rites of enlightenment directly from the descendants of the spiritual advisors to the Inca. In addition to energy work, he's also an artist with a passion for graphic art. Wow, that's quite a resume. Woo. All in one lifetime.
Great. and we're not done yet. So welcome aboard, Drake. And we're going to just ask you a few questions. Three to be exact. First one just about your spiritual journey. Second one about the queer tribe. And the third one is most important to me, which is, you know, what's your vision for us as a tribe in these times in which we're living? So starting off, so Drake, tell us about your spiritual journey, your awakening, your path that kind of informs you for this conversation today.
Well, looking back on my life, I see how it's been step by step by step, and there were times when I thought that I wasn't conscious or wasn't aware of what was happening, but I now know that the soul has an overall plan for its journey, and it takes twists and turns, but everything that happens there is for a reason. And now, later on in life, I'm feeling the pleasure of all of these different twists and turns coming together to create one picture that supports me. And I guess I truly stepped through the portal into the spiritual side of the journey when I turned 50. But as I said, there was a whole lot of years of prep work before that, including being a hermit for a lot of years, transitioning from one gender to another, working in the corporate world, doing a lot of things that didn't seem totally related to spirituality. But now that I've found shamanism, it's become my home, and I feel totally comfortable there. Mm-hmm. So each and every soul has its own unique path, with its own twists and turns. And so I've learned that not to compare, not to judge, and to support every soul on their path as well, supporting myself.
Mm-hmm. So that was juicy. Are there any, like, brief stories that you might tell us about your kind of awakening into shamanism and into this path that will guide us into the rest of our questions?
Well, I think the main thing that led me to my spiritual path, per se, is the fact that I was transgender. I had started to read about two spirits and third gender people who were considered medicine people in tribal life. Who had spiritual roles in many different societies. And I started thinking, perhaps, just maybe, this is the path I'm supposed to pursue as well. And that's how I started getting familiarized with shamanism. And, of course, one of the biggest steps in my journey was finding flesh and spirit. Mm. And I can remember, Kirk, being at a function with you at Flesh and Spirit and saying, wow, is it really possible that I could be a healer or, you know, be this spiritual person? And you're like, oh, honey, everyone is the healer to some degree or another, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just supported my consciousness growing and my learning in the shamanic profession, and it's always intrigued me, and I never get bored with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know if we had hours, you could tell us many, many stories about how those awakenings happened, but maybe the next two questions will kind of guide us into some of those stories as well. So here you are, you know, a two-spirit shaman. You've had this awakening, and you're in a queer tribe. Or the real question is there a queer tribe? And if there is, you know, what is it?
Well, first, before I give you my definition of what a tribe is, I would say that my confirmation that the queer tribe exists goes way back into history. Because I thought, being a transgender person, that only existed in the 20th century because that's when we had the medical wherewithal to transition from one gender to another. But doing research for my book and learning about the history of gays and trans people, that queer tribe actually supported the goddess thousands and thousands of years ago, before the patriarchy, before the monotheistic religions came into being. It was the queer people who served the goddess, served in the temple, and so that bond, that history is there and has been there for a very long time. So that tells me, number two, that it's not going to be going away either.
So we are a queer tribe. There is a lineage to this queer tribe that's been around for thousands of years, and there are aspects of who we are as a queer tribe that you see is unique to us as opposed to other tribes. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, to me, the definition of a tribe then is like a group of people who have bonds of two things, camaraderie, so there's connection, and there's common purpose. And for many tribes, that common purpose is survival. So the tribe is going to be a group of people that are like-minded and like-hearted. They're going to have that sense of purpose that's going to keep them connected, and they're going to rely on each other for their survival. And that's exactly what the queer tribe does. In today's day and age, when things are as they are, getting pretty scary, it's going to be us relying on each other to get through this.
Great. Yeah, I know. You know, the work of Flesh and Spirit, which for me was all about the queer tribe kind of getting activated, was really seeing the gift of who gay men, queer men were and are, and just curious, leading into the next question, which is, you know, the unique gifts or the gifts that are kind of in this tribe that weave together with all the other tribes in the world for this time. What do you see is next? What's your vision for us, especially, you know, given the political moment that we're in? You know, I mean, this will be a dated call that people will be able to go, oh, so that's when that happened. But, you know, yesterday, Saturday being being that, you know, millions of people took to the streets all over the world, 70 countries, 50 states, of women and men and, you know, standing for something. And I think there were probably many, 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 many queer people involved in all of those movements. So with that preface, what's next? What's your vision for the queer tribe in these times?
Well, there are a couple of concepts that I'm working on myself and researching. One of those is that the tribe is the home of the indigenous soul. And it's the indigenous soul, that soul part of us that goes back to our source, to that's connected to the land, that's connected to all of creation, that soul needs to rise up and be empowered. In other words, in Western culture, we've lost that soul part. We've become very disconnected from our sources. Many people who are starved for ritual and ceremony and connection and that soul, that's that missing part, is reaching out to other cultures, looking to fill in those spaces that they're feeling those missing parts to. I'm saying that we can all begin to learn about our roots, that we can learn what it means to be in an indigenous soul, and as we do that, then those parts, that energetic soul loss is going to be returned to us and we'll become empowered. So one of the ways of doing that is going to be through grassroots efforts, through social media. At this time, we don't really have any strong people to take up leadership. We don't have a Martin Luther King right now. We don't have an FDR. We don't have a Gandhi. But what we have is each other. We have the grassroots. And the women on Saturday of that, it was multi-generational, multi-class, multi-racial, ethnic, everything. Everyone there was represented and came together. And that's the exact movement that needs to happen to go forward. Is many people that are spiritually inclined believe that we are in an ascension period. We're in an ascension of consciousness, raising consciousness. And I believe that doing that is getting back to our roots. The indigenous people, the tribes who worked the land since the beginning of time, they understood that they were a part of the circle of life. They understood how to work with the land and not destroy it. They know they have much wisdom there. And instead of Western culture like picking on these people or trying to wipe them off the face of the earth, we should be going to them and asking them to guide us, to help us, to bring us into that wise place. Because truly, it's not just the politics of the United States or the Brexit or whatever else is happening. It's global survival at this point. It is us learning to be in connection with Mother Earth, or our future here is over with, basically. And that's what it has come to. So I'm saying to retribalize, re-indigenize the soul, and decolonialize society. Those, to me, are the keys, and that all that work is going to come through grassroots people, tribes coming together and supporting each other.
All right. So say those three things again so everybody can hear those words who may not be kind of familiar with them, because I think they may become real buzzwords for us who really are rising up in our activism, who are really rising up in our spirituality to really stand for a vision of inclusive equality and justice for all. But go over those words again.
Okay, so the first one is resurrect the tribe.
Okay,
and
resurrect
the tribe. We're kind of already a step ahead there because that tribe does exist, so reconnect into that. The second step is to re-indigenize the soul. And I know you have mentioned talking about starting that effort as well, having people get their DNA tested, finding out what their roots are, getting into spiritual journeys, ceremonies, gratitude practices. There's a whole list of things that can be done there. And the third step is decolonializing society. So colonialization, what is that? That is the dominant culture taking over land, corporations, resources for profit. And as long as that energy is happening, then the world, the earth, and all of us on it are jeopardized.
Mm-hmm. Powerful. Yeah, really powerful. So, you know, I know you well. We've shared and walked the journey, and many a step together. And what I'm aware is that you, like a lot of people I know, have been on this powerful spiritual journey. But I hear you now with a clearer voice of what I call activism than I've ever heard before. Is activism in your mind part of that vision of resurrection and re-indigenizing and decolonizing? Is that part of what we as the queer tribe are about?
Yes, it's true. I have to step aside and look back at myself and say, is this really you, Drake? Because I'm the world's biggest hermit, and I'm the world's biggest introvert. And then I went to the Women's March on Saturday, and I was amazed that I wasn't freaked out by the energy, but I was feeling the solidarity just wash over me. And then I saw a sign on Facebook that said, yes, even introverts are here. And I'm like, yes, because there's this part of this activation that's coming into my soul. And I just feel that that's the spirit world working with me, saying, this is your purpose. This is what you're supposed to work on. And I know as I go forward, my voice is going to get louder and louder and louder.
Yeah.
But yes, there's been a fire ignited. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I carried a sign on Saturday that was from a quote from Audre Lorde, but the first part, it was simply to break the silence. And it felt like in the, you know, 170,000 people that I was probably standing with in the streets, that we were not only breaking the silence, but there was a level of not only inclusiveness, but kindness that for me was the embodiment of the vision. Keep talking about the vision some more. What do you see for us as the queer tribe as our role in creating that vision of those three things? Are there things coming to mind right now, or is it still kind of stirring in the cauldron?
Well, I believe that the queer people have always been on the forefront of any social movement. That's one reason why we're targets, right? But we're also being emulated. And we're huge in the arts, and the arts is something that raises awareness. Right, so there's many aspects of being queer, just being outside the box in itself, and people looking at that, and some people think, oh, we're so brave or courageous, or we're this and we're that. We're not. We're just doing what we have to do because that is our soul's purpose. And I truly believe that there was a book that was written many years ago about how homosexuals saved civilization. And I believe that whole thought is going to resurface because, as you know, the gay rights, the trans rights have been at the forefront of the last 5 years, and they seem to be taking the hit right now. Of course, there's also the Black Lives Movement going on as well, because that's something that's been, you know, struggling. We've struggled with that for years and years. And then we also have the Native American issues, which are, you know, at the pipeline issue right now. So there's a lot that's resurfaced. And I saw signs, you know, at the march saying, I can't believe I'm marching for this again. But this is the time for the gays and the trans people to get out there to be examples of where we're moving. So being inclusive, being diverse, honoring that, but also in the honoring of diversity, knowing that we are all the same. We are all connected. We are all energy. And our DNA is, the difference between our DNA is less than 1%. We are all the same material, and we all come from the same source, and we all have a common purpose. So I think that our job as a queer tribe is to not only be an example, but to help others foster their strength and their courage to be their individual and unique selves. We already know we had to do that for survival. We learned how to be unique and how to survive. Now you can teach others to do that as well.
Yeah. You remind me that, you know, it's, you know, every kind of mystical tradition, you know, I think there's an African saying about, you know, next to the wound is the blessing, or, you know, the words of Rumi, which really talk about, you know, finding within in the wound that crack that lets the light in. That, you know, we're in a time where so much potential, I think, is trying to come forth through really oppressive moments and oppressive laws and oppressive actions that are just beginning to take place. And I heard four women talk about ACT UP recently, and how, you know, ACT UP during the years in which Reagan was not paying any attention to or denying or not acknowledging that AIDS even existed, that ACT UP really stirred the pot and brought that issue to visibility. I think about Orlando and, you know, the gun violence that's going on in our country. I have a feeling that what you're talking about in those three words again of us rising up to resurrect, to re-indigenize, and to decolonialize have some very concrete things that people who are queer are going to be called to. Do you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were talking, you know, it came through to me that what I really wanted to say is that each of us chose this life to be queer. We chose this life to be queer, and we chose to be here now. And so we are here to facilitate this change that the world is going through, because I believe at the very end of this, a very beautiful system is going to come out of it. And so it's our job, almost as light workers, if you will, to facilitate that change.
Wow, that really flips the power around, doesn't it? When you know, I got chills when you said, you know, we chose to be here now. You know, I was just kind of letting that seep in as a mantra for me to just go, oh, I can really own that. And if I chose to be here now, then I chose to be the change. I chose to be a part of the tribe that's going to help with all the other tribes to be the change. That's that excites me, and I need, I don't know about everybody else listening on this call, but I need to be excited over and over again. Each day is, you know, all the misinformation and all of the negative energy keeps flying around. So that is a really powerful statement to me. Thank you for that.
Well, it is, and it takes away the victimization. We're not victims to what's happening in the world. We are the activators.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be activating the new picture that's coming in. It's the rise of the Aquarian energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah, some years ago, Donnie and I, in our work, came up with, you know, what is the bottom line of the work that we do in helping people get free from the inside out, and it's to activate their purpose. And I don't think we really even knew what that meant. We may be in times where that's really the calling to for all of us to see this as a time for us to activate our purpose and to do that together so that we can, you know, flourish individually, but we can flourish as tribe, as we can flourish as a country, and we can flourish for the rights of all people around the world. So you are exciting me. Great. So I see our time is flying by, and so I want to do a couple things. One is to let you tell people how to connect with you, and if there's anything that you want to plug. But more important than that, maybe that being the last thing, is if there are people on the line who would like to ask Drake a question before we wind up this call. And for everyone on the line, it is recorded, so if you missed parts of it, we will be sending it out as well. So, Donnie, you still with us?
I'm right here.
And how about opening the lines up so that people can, or how do they do that? They just hit *6, is that right?
Yes, let me see. Yes, people can unmute their phones by pressing *6. That's right.
Okay, so if someone's on the line and you want to kind of chime in and ask Drake a question, you can do that by hitting *6.
When are you coming back to Cincinnati, Ohio, my brother?
I was just thinking how much I'm missing Ohio, and I'm always finally thinking of Ohio and the fun I have when I go. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, and thank you, beloved Dan. I recognize that voice. So glad to hear you. And you know, I saw from some of our friends that live there, Teresa, and people that you know, that, you know, there were thousands of people even in Cincinnati marching, which is,
yeah.
If it can happen in Cincinnati, it can happen.
It can happen anywhere.
Great. All right. Anybody else who have a question for Drake before we wind up this call?
Did we already talk about how people can get hold of Drake if they want to?
So we're going to do that if there are no more questions. I'm not hearing
any.
So, Drake, if people want to contact you and explore some of the work that you're doing, or if there's something you want to plug, go for it.
Okay, so first I'll say that I welcome any feedback. If you want to email me, I am Drake Bear Steven, that's Steven with the PH, at pacbell.net. And my website is Drake Enterprises, InnerPrizes.com. And I would love to plug my book for just one second. My book
is called
Soul Sex. Soul Sex, The Alchemy of Gender and Sexuality. So it's a lot about empowering us as a queer tribe. It is about us being proud of our identity, and it also talks a lot about the spiritual aspects of the soul and why did we choose this life as a queer member of the tribe.
That's great. Excellent. Thank you, Drake. So thank you for stirring at least a conversation for people or seeding a conversation to be continued. And for all of you who are listening in, this is Donnie and Kirk as well, and we're with fleshandspirit.org. So you can find this recording on fleshandspirit.org or qt.fleshandspirit.org, either way. It will be up in just moments as a recording for you to listen to or to share with others as well. And we will have more queer men coming on in next month to share with us their journey, spiritual journey, and how they see the queer tribe, and especially what their vision is, because I think many of us are just really waking up, and I can't wait to hear even more. So thank you, Drake. Thank you all listening.
Thank you.
And namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.